I got something that I want to try to share with you on my heart tonight that just, you know, try to pray and ask the Lord to give me exactly what he wants, and that's important to me. And the things that stick in my heart are where I try to follow him. I want to read tonight in the book of Proverbs, if you got your Bible. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 6, and then we'll go to Psalms chapter number 101. And I've got so many verses on here tonight to go with this, we probably won't even be able to touch on them all. We want to do what's expedient, what the Lord sees as being important, and that's why we want to seek him. But I want to talk about seven things that God hates. You know, the Bible tells us what the Lord hates. And I want to talk about those things, and I want to look at them, and then I want us to look at our hearts and our lives. Sometimes we need to be reminded. How does the Lord look at us, and what does God expect from us? You know, sometimes we, if we're not careful, we get to thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And we want to be able to see things, you know, as God would have us to see them. But if you got your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 6. And want to read in the 16th verse down to the 19th verse, because it tells us these seven things. Then we'll go over to Psalms chapter 101, and I want you to see how closely this scripture parallels this scripture in the book of Proverbs. But if you got your Bible in Proverbs chapter 16, or chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, seven deadly sins is kind of the subtitle at the top of my Bible here. But it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. It says, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, when I look at this, the thing that sticks out the most to me says, these are the things that the Lord hates. You know, if we go over to Psalms chapter 101, and I want to read this psalm to you, it's just 8 verses. But this is a psalm of David, and obviously we know that Proverbs was written by Solomon. But listen to how closely some of these things parallel that scripture. It says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with thee. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within mine house, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. You know, sometimes when people begin to talk about, you know, categorizing sin, or what does God hate, or what's really bad, I think sometimes they miss all the important things. What people want to do is they want to look at sins going on in the world. They want to categorize them, and they want to talk about this is bad or that's bad. But when we look at this scripture, the first thing that he says is, I hate a proud look. Now, you know, if you've ever thought about why, I want to read a verse of scripture to you. I'm going to flip through quite a few verses of scripture. They'll put as many of them as they can up on the screen. But why does God hate pride? In Isaiah chapter number 14, verse 12 to 14, it talks about Satan, talks about Lucifer. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. You know, the Most High, that name of God is El Elyon. And Satan wasn't satisfied with his estate, but his heart began to be lifted up with pride. Now here's the problem with pride. There's no place for pride in any Christian's life. There's really, in my mind, no place for pride in any person's life. Now here's some things that we can be proud of, and I think it's okay. You know, I'm proud of our youth choir. I'm proud of our church. I'm proud of Celebrate Recovery program here. I'm proud of the people that work so hard in this church. And you know, sometimes the truth is, when I look at my children and they do something, I'm proud of them. You know, I went out to get my wife's coat a few minutes ago, and she said, "You missed it while you went out. Luke prayed." And I really hate that I did miss it, but I'm thankful that he did it. You know, and it makes us proud when we see our children doing something this good. But here's where the trouble with pride is at. It's when you look at yourself and you exalt yourself above what you should. Because the truth is, and as I stand here today, I am a white man born in the South, raised in a Christian home in the Bible Belt. I ought to be in church, amen? But you know what people do? They look at themselves and they say, "Look at me. Look at what I've been able to accomplish." But I want to stop you for just a minute. I didn't have anything to do with any of that. I didn't choose to be born male or female. I didn't choose to be born white, black, Hispanic, or any other race. And you know, I didn't even choose to be born into the home that I was born into. You know, it was very fortunate that I was able to be raised up in the church where the gospel was preached. So who am I to have pride in my heart and my life to say that I'm anything or look down at others? And when he looks at this scripture, he says, this is what God hates. God hates a proud look. Now, why? Because what we are when we're proud is we're getting kin to the devil. Now, would you look at Isaiah over there? He said, "Look at Lucifer. Why art thou fallen from heaven, O son of the morning?" He wanted to be like God, and he wasn't satisfied with his estate. You see, what we ought to be as Christians is we ought to be humble. And we ought to recognize we're only what we are. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." That's all that we have to claim is the grace of God. Where would I be outside of the grace of God? I have a preacher friend that I love to go hear preach. And he talks about the grace that kept him out of hell. And he wants to tell it. Now this man's been serving God all his life. He started a church in his garage with 9 people and he just built his 5th building. But all he talks about is the grace of God. And there go I, but for the grace of God. Where do people have trouble? They're lifted up with pride. That's why they can't see the grace that's needed by somebody else. God said he hates a proud look. Number one. Number two, he said he hates a lying tongue. Now again, what's a lying tongue kin to? Who is the father of lies? Satan. Who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan. In Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." You know, and you can say, and I begin to think about this, and I want to tell you, it was a little bit convicting when I studied it. You know what I say? I'm not a liar. I don't tell lies. Sometimes I might stretch the truth a little bit. Sometimes I might not tell all the truth. And the more I begin to think about it and allow the Holy Spirit to analyze my heart and my life, I realize I need this scripture. I realize that I need God to speak to me that if I'm going to be like Jesus, there's always room to improve. There's always room for me to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do a work in my life. Because I don't want anybody to say, "Well, he looks like he's kin to the devil." And if we're going to do the right things, we need to do what God wants us to do. So God hates a proud look. God hates a lying tongue. And God hates hands that shed innocent blood. And you know, I want to flip over to the book of Psalms and read a verse. It's the 139th Psalm in the 14th verse. If you want to turn, I'll give you a minute to get over there. But you know, one thing that we're seeing in our nation today is we're seeing a lack of respect for the sanctity of life. And we're seeing it, I mean, obviously we have a problem in this land with with all the things that have been legalized and all the things that seem to be, you know, on the docket all the time to be voted on. And people say, well, you can't legislate morality. Well, folks, we do it every day. The question becomes, whose morality are we going to legislate? And when we legislate morality, at what level are we going to say that something's acceptable? And you know that the bar is moving. You know, the oppression comes in one way toward those that are trying to do what's right and take care of their own. And it's going in another way to say that certain things that we used to say are unspeakable or unthinkable are allowed. But when I look at this scripture and I look at who we are before God, let's go over to Psalms 139 and verse 14. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. Now here's something I want you to see about this scripture. What he's talking about here in the 16th verse, he said, you saw my substance. And when you begin to look at this, and I heard Brother Garland Odom preaching on the scripture one time, he said, what that really means is bony fragments. You know, they want a debate today to decide when a baby becomes alive. When it's really a baby. But when you look at the scripture and you read it, and you read this scripture right here, and you go over and you realize where Mary went over to speak to Elizabeth, and when she was there, she told her that she was with child of the Holy Ghost, that John the Baptist, who was in the womb of Elizabeth, leaped in her womb because the Holy Spirit was upon that baby before it had ever breathed life outside of the womb. If we would take and accept what the Word of God says, we would be closer to being pleased to the Lord. You know, I want God to be pleased with our life. And the last thing that I want as I look at it is I don't want to ever be under the judgment of God. You know, I really feel like, and I've said this before, that America is under the judgment of God right now. But if we want to get into the favor of God, then we need to understand what God hates. I was up at the courthouse in Pauline County a few weeks ago. I'd went up there to get a tag for a trailer that I'd bought. And I was standing in line, and like usual, my day off, if I'm off, I'm usually wearing camouflage. But I'd went and done my thing that morning, and I was standing there in the courthouse, and I was in line, and I began to listen to the conversation in front of me. And a man spoke to a lady, and he told her, be blessed. And she said, I am. And they had a quick conversation about how good it was to serve the Lord. And the last thing he said to her, he said, stay in his favor. And he walked off, and I listened to that, and I thought about those words. If we want to be in God's favor, and we want to be blessed, we need to know how to understand and interpret God's word and how it applies to us, that we won't be under God's judgment, but we'd be in God's favor. You know, we're seeing things today. It's just like what's going on here in our own county. And I've had people kind of poke at me lately. Well, you live out there in Old Paulding County. You know, it used to be they laughed at us because the chicken truck turned over up on the courthouse square. I don't know how many of you remember that. But they mocked at me. Oh, you live up there in Paulding County, chicken truck county. Now they talk about how bad it is. They talk about the crime. They talk about what went on the Silver Comet Trail. They talk about the drug houses. They talk about when people are going in and killing their own families. They talk about a guy on Ridge Road that got shot in his driveway. Why? Because people have lost respect for the sanctity of life. God said he hates hands that shed innocent blood. I want to tell you, years ago, I never would have thought I'd have preached about that way. You know, when we talk about hands that shed innocent blood, it's somebody else, it's somewhere else, it's someplace else. But I want to look at it and how it applies to my life as a Christian and do what I'm supposed to do. You see, doing what you're supposed to do is more than just saying, it's not me. It's what can I do to keep it from happening. See, he hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. And he hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, this is really where it gets right down to touchy. Because only you and God know what's in your heart. Sometimes people try to act like they do or they want to judge your heart, but nobody knows but God. But it's serious to God. Now, I want to give you some verses of Scripture. Why? See, God hates the imagination of the heart when it's wicked. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's not that they struggled or they had problems with this or that. He said, but every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. You say, well, you know what? We're there today. We're there today when we get concerned about our kids' life being taken because of the shoes that they wear. You know, there's too much of that. I heard a story about something that went on out in California, and you think, well, that's way out there. Or you hear something that went on over in Europe, and you say, well, that's way over there. You know, it troubles me to think that my children's lives could be in jeopardy because somebody wants their tennis shoes. You know, sometimes we talk about, well, what do you fear? A little bit about it this morning in Sunday school, about being in a plane. I don't fear some of that stuff, but I fear when I think my children could be in jeopardy. You see, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, a wicked heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number 9, and this is an example from the year of the release, and I'm just going to give you part of the verse. It says, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, and then the latter part of the verse, and that thine eye be evil against thy poor brother. Now, what this was talking about in the year of release is that if somebody owed you something every 7 years, you forgive them. But because of the wickedness in people's heart, they'd keep people oppressed. And you say, well, we don't have that same law. Well, I want to tell you something. If there's somebody that you know that's had trouble and God's forgiven them and you're keeping them oppressed, you're guilty. Amen. Because we ought to have mercy and we ought to demonstrate God's mercy. If not, we might have a heart that's not pleasing to God. You know, in Proverbs 23:7, the scripture teaches that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, there's a saying, and I want to tell you, I don't like this saying, but I'm going to say it. Reputation is what people think you are. Y'all have heard that? But character is what you are when nobody's around. That just gets right down to it. You know, I don't like that. Because it's real. Because it gets a hold of me and it challenges me with everything in my life that's not pleasing to the Lord. In Jeremiah, if you want to flip over with me, I'm going to read in Jeremiah chapter number 6 and give you some more scripture about the thoughts of the heart and the imagination of the heart and how that God is serious when he begins to speak to us in his word about these things. In Jeremiah chapter number 6, in verse number 19, in verse number 20, it says, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this house, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? It's what God said. He said, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, and your sacrifices are not sweet unto me. Why? Because he knows what's in the heart. Now, here's the point. When I get up here to preach, I tell you why I'm itchy and twitchy. My wife says, you seem nervous. I am. Folks, it's a serious thing to stand up and declare the word of God in God's house because we serve a living God. Now, he is a God of love. But the scripture also teaches us that he is a consuming fire. And we should respect him as such. You see, God knows our heart. God knows our heart. Here's some verses for that. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Remember, knowing their hearts. Then in Matthew 15:19, he said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Then you go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 2, and you see another place. It says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, well, let's remember, he's God. Now, Satan can't do that, okay? He'd love to have you believe that he's got the same power that God's got, but he doesn't. God knows what's in my heart, and he knows what's in your heart, and we can't trick him, we can't deceive him. He knows. And if he knows, and we know that he cares about us, then we ought to be respectful, obviously, to what his word teaches. Let's go over to 1 Chronicles. I'm going to read verse to you out of 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 9. This is where David encourages Solomon. It says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understanding all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And you say, well, those are pretty strong words. Well, you go on a little farther and you read a little bit about Solomon's life. And you see how Solomon began to drift away from the Lord, and he brought in these foreign brides. And there's a verse in there that speaks about Solomon and David. And it said that Solomon walked not before the Lord with a perfect heart, as did David his father. And here we see David giving him a warning that the Lord God searcheth the hearts. That's why the scripture tells us that he hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. He's God. And here's the thing to understand. He's holy. Isaiah said he's holy, holy, holy. And when a word like that was repeated in the Old Testament, it's like saying very, very holy. Now here's where we have the trouble. It's where I have the trouble. It's sometimes the greatness of God, the holiness of God, it's hard for us to fathom or imagine with a limited and a finite mind. It's hard for us to see his greatness. Sometimes even hard for us to have enough respect and understanding for who God is. There's a verse over in Isaiah that said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you build unto me? He's God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and this speaks of the Bible. You know why sometimes people say, well, I don't like that kind of Bible teaching. That's, you know, all them verses and, you know, give me something to make me feel good. I've had a few people ask me, and one person in particular, when are you going to preach about heaven? And I hear that quite often. When are you going to preach about heaven? Well, I do every Sunday. They just don't hear. Okay? You want to come to get to go to heaven? You accept Jesus. Amen? But you know what this Bible does? It gets a hold to you. You know, you open it sometimes, and I'm just going to be honest, when I was a young preacher, and I still do this, I hate to admit it, but I open something and I read a verse, and I slam it, do it like that right there. You know what I'm doing? It's so strong that I'm afraid God will make me preach about it. Why? Listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, and you know the verse, says the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. It says, and of the joints and the marrow. And look at the last part of the verse. It says, it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why, you know, the saying is, sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. You see, because when you read it and you have a constant incoming of the Word of God, and it's inside of you, that's why I support the Awana program. These kids are learning verses that when they get out and they start driving and they start going out on their own, if they're saved, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. They'll be somewhere, And they'll be in a place where they have to make a decision. And you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? Them verses will start coming. And you know what they've got to do? They've got to walk over the Word of God and reject the Word of God openly in order to do the things that the world wants them to do. Because when it's inside you, it'll come up. And it'll be alive when you need it. That's what God does. The fifth thing, he says, I hate feet that are swift in running to mischief. It's kind of like this. I just want to call you. Now, I'm not gossiping or anything. I just want you to help me pray about so-and-so. But have you heard? Let's be careful, amen? You know, I got another lesson I was looking at when I was studying for this one. It says, lessons from Facebook. You know, your Facebook says something about you. I tell you, it does. Here's a problem I have with Facebook. My wife, she witnesses to people. She puts things, she says, I never put anything on there that's negative. She says, if I put something on there, I'm encouraging somebody, I'm praying for somebody, I'm trying to help somebody. She said, sometimes people respond, and with something bad, she said, I just don't respond. Amen. That's right. That's the way it ought to be. But here's the problem. What about your friends? When they see you, they see your friends. And it shows who you hang around. It shows what you do. One time a guy got mad. He was challenged, that I know got challenged by his church, but he had a word on there that I wouldn't want my kids to hear. And he's a youth leader. He said, well, that's my business. Well, if you're a Christian, it's God's business. That's why it says here, feet that be swift and run into mischief. Now, do I think I'm perfect? I know y'all already asked me that. He thinks he's perfect. No, I don't. I'm just telling you the things that God showed me. You know, sometimes when I am praying and seeking the Lord, you know what you got to do? You got to get quiet and listen. See, what we want to do all the time is we want to run. We want God to move. I want it to happen today. I want it to happen right now. And we can't be still long enough to let God do anything or work in our lives. And sometimes still is exactly where we need to be. He hates feet that be swift and running to mischief. And number six, he hates a false witness that speaketh lies. In Proverbs chapter 19 and 5, it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You know, sometimes I've had people say things about me that wasn't true. And when they do, and you know, sometimes people say things about you that ain't true, and people listen. And that's what bothers me. But here's what the Lord showed me. Let me handle it. The Holy Spirit. Just, you know, if I just do what God wants me to do, let God have it. I don't have to run and defend it. I don't have to jump up and fight back. I just give it to the Lord. I've had it happen. I've had them say things. I've had it happen. People say things. Well, you know, if you're going to be, I've had them say this. If you're going to be a preacher, well, why don't you, well, you ought to preach this way. If you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, well, you know, you ought to teach this way. You ought not be teaching them this or that. You ought to do this or that. And I just think, well, what do they know? God, you just give me direction and help me to be obedient to you. You know, when people say things about you that are not true, they're not right with God. But let me go ahead and tell you, when people listen to them and they don't know the facts, they're not right with God either. Think about that the next time somebody comes to you and their feet are swift to run to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And then number seven, the biggie. He that soweth discord among brethren. You know, the Bible tells us if any man speak, we ought to speak for edification. Well, what's that? That's lifting up. What's sowing discord? It's getting this group over here against this group over here, creating problems when we ought to be coming together to serve God, to lift up the kingdom of God. You know, we got too much to do to fight the devil and the world to have discord in the house of God. You know, folks, I want to go ahead and tell you, I don't care what color you paint the church. I don't care what color the chairs are. I don't really care what music. Just let me preach. It's kind of like that. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, people were calling me out because I went and preached at a youth conference. And he said this group called Skillet was going to be there. Now, some of y'all know what Skillet is. Some of y'all think he's talking about a frying pan. That is a very contemporary type group. Some of the teenagers right now, they got it on their iPods, I guarantee you. But he said people were saying, you know, you come from this conservative background and you're going down there and this is that and this is that. He said, let me just tell you something. He said, those young people come together and they're there and they're listening to this music. And he said, yeah, they're out there. And no, it's not my kind of music. And no, it's not what I would want. And it's not what I would have for them. He said, but I can't tell you, when they get them all excited and I walk up on that platform and I'm able to deliver the word of God and the Holy Spirit moves and I see young people come down and people accept Christ. He said, I would not have that opportunity if I had that attitude. And he said, what I want to do is spread the word of God so that people can be saved by the grace of God. You know, the truth is, we all got our opinions. But we need to understand the difference in an absolute. Y'all know what an absolute is. God's word says it. It's kind of like this. You don't have to pray about it. You ever had anybody come to you and they say, well, I want you to pray about so-and-so. And you give them a verse of scripture and you say, well, here's what it says. Well, let's pray about it. Well, you don't have to pray about it. It's an absolute. And then you got things that are convictions. And let me tell you this. As a Christian, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been walking in this way. Proof that you're growing in your relationship with God is that your convictions are growing. Amen. Your convictions need to grow every day. But you need to understand that what's a conviction for you may not be a conviction for the person sitting across from you. I can remember the first lesson in my life that I ever got on this. I was in grammar school. And I was in a Sunday school class at Welcome Hill Baptist Church down in the bottom, and Nisha Dunn was teaching the class. And she asked us about that. She said, do you understand that maybe somebody might have something that's convicting to them that's not convicting to you? And I looked at her and said, no, what are you talking about? She said, well, and this is what she said, and I'm just telling you what she gave me because I can remember it when I was a kid. She said, well, I'll give you an example. And this tells you how long ago it was. She said, it's kind of like, and there was a drive-in. Y'all remember a drive-in? There was a drive-in on Austell Road. And I've been to there once or twice. I mean, that's been a long time ago. But she said, you know, for me, and she was a preacher's wife, she said, for me, I wouldn't go to the drive-in. She said, because there's things that God's convicted me about. And I looked at her and I said, huh? I said, what's wrong with the drive-in? And I, you know, I looked at her and I shook my head. But I realized, even as a boy, I was learning what it is to grow in your relationship with God. And she said that, and I still remember it to this day. Those things still come up. You know where the problem's at? Now, let's make sure we understand all these seven things. It's when you think your convictions is law for everybody else. You can't do that. Because when you do that, you can't be the convicting power to somebody else's heart and soul. It takes the Holy Spirit to speak to them. And if the Holy Spirit hadn't spoke to them, you need to leave them alone. Amen. So you got absolutes, you got convictions. Convictions need to grow every day. And then this one, and this is where it really gets funny, is preferences. Preferences, just little things that really don't mean anything. And people take them absolutely out of proportion. Because here's the point, just like the scripture teaches in the New Testament, they omit the weightier matters of the law. And they bind burdens that are heavy that men can't even carry. That's why people fight over music. That's why people fight over what you wear to church. People fight over haircuts. People fight over little things like the color of the nursery. When what we ought to be doing is reaching out to try to see everybody we can saved by the grace of God. And when we look at these things, if we just really, honestly and truly, allow the Holy Spirit to take them and drive every one of them right into our hearts. What the things that God hates, we ought to let God. And this is kind of like this when David prayed. He said, search me, O God. Know my heart, know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And he said, well, I don't have a problem with any of that. Read this scripture and pray that prayer. If you do, maybe God will show you. And he's, oh, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. The more I listen to him, the more he shows me every day. And I want to be like him. Why do I want to be like him? Because I don't have a whole lot of time left. I want to live for God. I want to be the absolute example that I'm supposed to be for my children. My children are not growing up in the world I grew up in. And if you hadn't looked around, your children and your grandchildren are not growing up in the world you grew up in. And if they're going to be able to stand, they need an example and they need the strength of God. Amen? Amen. Thank you for listening to me tonight. I want to ask him if you would to play that majesty. And we want to ask you to stand to your feet. And if anybody would like to pray as we play this, if not, just watch it and think about the greatness of the Lord. Amen?
we're singing. Tell them tonight. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Coming a day, we're going to...